Well, hello, boys and girls, and welcome to another Reading with Rick. Got a little bit late start tonight, just a couple of minutes, but are you all snuggled in? I hope so. I hope you had a good day today. I had a very good day. We've got a nice story for you tonight about cows. Yeah, we're going to talk about two cool cows. This is going to be a fun one. Fun one. Fun one to read, too, and I bet it'll be a fun one to listen to. It's called Two Cool Cows, and it's written by Toby Speed. And the illustrator is Barry Root. So we're going to start the program with that one. Two Cool Cows. And then we're going to go back to the Magic Treehouse tonight again for another exciting adventure with Jack and Annie. They were to Dinosaur Land. They went to a castle last night. I wonder where they'll go tonight. So that will be our second book tonight from the Magic Treehouse. But let's get started, huh? You waited long enough. Okay, Two Cool Cows is the name of the book. The writer is Toby Speed. The illustrator is Barry Root, and it has some fantastic pictures in this book. And this book is dedicated to the writer's cool friend and biggest encourager, Steve Frazier and Victoria Stevenson. Sometimes when writers write a book, they write it to special friends or people that have helped them. That's called a dedication. And that's, they decided these to the writer and the drawer or the illustrator, sending this book to Steve Frazier and Victoria Stevenson. So that's special for them, isn't it? Makes them feel good, I bet. Okay, first page. The picture is, you can just see the heads of two cows, and those are Holsteins. They're black and white cows, but what makes it funny, they're wearing colored sunglasses. One has red glasses on. They have red lenses in them, and the other one has yellow lenses. You don't see that, but they're out in the field, and it's night because you can see stars in the sky. So here's the reading. Over the hills of Hillamadoon and Willamadoon and Radamadoon and Hadamadeen, up the river and down the river and over the bridge and around the bend come Millie and Maud, two cool cows from the Huckabuck farm. So the cows' names are Millie and Maud. The next picture as we turn the page, those two cows, Millie and Maud, they're running and they are wearing cowboy boots. Two cool cows wearing new black boots, boots that belong to the Huckabuck kids. Eight black boots on the eight fleet hooves of the two cool cows. They're running away. I wonder what they're running from or what are they running to. The next page, and it shows those two cows are climbing up a hill, and that hill is right under the moon. And out at the farmhouse, the Huckabuck kids are waking up, and they see the cows running up the hill. How do they go, clop, clop? Where do they go? To the mountain top. To the mountain top of Hillamadoon, the best jumping off place for the moon. For cows who are jumping over the moon in new black button-back boots. Hey, diddle, diddle, moon be bright. Hey, diddle, diddle, let's jump tonight. Jump right over the moon. They're going to the moon. The next page. And they're at the top of the hill. Millie and Maud are at the top of the hill. And what do cows do out in the field? They're always eating, aren't they? Ate the grass in the meadow here. Ate all the grass that was growing here. In Hillamadoon and Willamadoon. In Radamadoon and Hadamadeen. And all of the places in between. Now, where can we go where the grass is green? To the far, far side of the moon. And the next page shows Millie and Maud and their boots and their red and yellow glasses on, and they are splashing through a big pond of water. Over the rickety-pickety fence, down through the buggity bog, straight through the wickety-thickety woods, into the fishery pond. So they're running through the pond, and the Huckabuck kids are chasing them. And right behind come the Huckabuck kids, Kate, Doug, Daisy, and Spoon, all the way up to the mountain top. Four quick kids in their bedroom slippers, four quick kids with 40 cold toes, all the way up yelling, "Stop, stop, bring back our button-back boots." But Millie and Maud are at the top of the hill, and they're jumping towards the moon. The kids aren't going to catch them. And oh, look, up in the tree, there's an owl watching the kids splash through the water, chase them, and a frog down there, too, on a lily pad. Two frogs, three frogs. Oh, and there's a turtle. Next page. The cows have landed on the moon, and you see the earth on the other side, and you can see the Huckabuck kids, and they're upside down on the earth, but there are a lot of cows on the moon. Moon has a meadow, green and wide, a great green meadow on the other side. For cows on the munch, cows by the bunch, ever so many eating their lunch. Cows in the craters, cows and their cousins, cows on vacation, dozens and dozens. And there are cows, and some of them are having tea, and a couple of cows, three or four of them, are playing a game of soccer, and they're having a picnic, and those two are just walking along talking to each other. Boy, there are cows all over that side of the moon. Next page. The cows are all lined up, and it looks like they're doing a dance, and there's Millie in one of the craters, and she's got a pair of bongos. Do you know what bongos are? They're small drums that you play with your hands. You don't play with a drumstick. You just play with your hands. But cows don't have hands, so Millie's playing with her hooves, and she's got her ice cooler there with her lunch. Oh, and there's Maud, and she's playing, looks like, a flute. And there's another cow on a piano, one that's got a guitar. There's a one on a trumpet. We should talk to Mr. Poland and see if he needs any help in the band. How do they go? Clop, clop. What do they do? The bunny hop. The bunny hop in a meadow of moon. There's nothing quite like it in Hillamadoon. The next page, the Huckabuck kids are trying to get the attention of the cows way up on the moon. I don't think they can yell that far. The moon is pretty far away. And far below, cry the Huckabuck kids, "Come back, Millie, come back, Maud, and bring back our new black nicky-knack, paddy-whack, run-amuck, Huckabuck, button-back boots." Next page, cows are paying no attention to the Huckabuck kids. They're still having their fun in that green meadow on the other side of the moon. They're talking to each other, and they're laughing and eating. "One more bite to fill us up of Columbine and Buttercup. Buttercup and Columbine. A nibble more, and then it's time. Time to go. Goodbye. Goodbye." So they're leaving the moon now. And Maud and Millie, they take a big jump, and they're headed back to Earth. Where do they go? Far, far. Over the meadow and under the stars. Over the bluebells and hollyhocks. Back to the kids on the mountaintop. For it's grass to milk and milk to cheese. And home by 7 o'clock. So Millie and Maud are back on Earth now. "Hey, diddle diddle, moon be bright, we're running a race with the moon tonight. Up the river and down the river and over the bridge and around the bend. Into the pond, into the woods, into the bog, over the fence. Cows, kids, buttons, boots, back to the Huckabuck farm." And Millie and Maud, well, they don't look too happy because the kids are taking the boots off their feet, and the kids are putting them on their own feet. And they're leading them back to the barn. Maud and Millie are headed back to the farm. And the next page, they get to the farm, and they're going down the driveway. But Moon gets home ahead of the rest. There's Moon in a puddle and Moon in the field, Moon in the hayloft and Moon on the shed. And it's terribly late for going to bed. There's Moon on the tractor and there on the barn of the two cool cows. But one more dance for Maud and Millie, and the kids join in this time. They're, I think one of the girls is playing a fiddle, and another boy, he's dancing along with them. How do they go, clop, clop? What do they do? The bunny hop. Kate plays the fiddle. Little Doug laughs, and Daisy runs off with Spoon. And maybe tomorrow we'll do it again. Jump right over the moon. And they're all holding hands and looking up at the moon. The end. That's a good one. That was a fun one. That one had some fun reading to it, didn't it? That was called Two Cool Cows. A fun book tonight. Hey, thanks for everybody for staying up with us here for another reading with Rick. We want to do like last night. We'll take a little bit of a break. But before we go, we got a couple of things to do. We got to say some hellos tonight. We want to say, hi there, Carson and Blake Klein. How you doing? Thanks for staying up tonight. Oh, we got a whole bunch from the Wacker family. Roman and Marcy and Eddie and Alice and even little baby Simon. Hi, Wackers. How are you tonight? And we want to sing a happy birthday again. Remember we had a birthday to Nora Schliemann the other night? Well, we've got not one, but two birthdays tonight. Alexa Melby is 6 years old today, so we're going to sing to Alexa just like we did to Nora, so get your voices ready. Are you ready? We're going to do a one, two, three, and then happy birthday. Sing loud for Alexa Melby. Alexa, are you ready to hear everybody sing? Okay. It's for Alexa. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alexa. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Alexa Melby. You're 6 years old today. Are you done singing? Did you sing loud? Okay. Well, I hope you did sing loud because we're not done. We got one more birthday. Can we sing it again for somebody else? I think we can. We have an 8-year-old now. Jackson Vernig is 8 years old today. So let's do it again on the count of three for Jackson. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jackson. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jackson. Hope you had a great day on your 8th birthday. And Alexa, I hope you had a great day on your 6th birthday. Great to have a birthday, isn't it, for Alexa Melby and Jackson Vernig. And we've got one more special hello tonight. I think these guys are listening. I bet they're wearing green pajamas because they're green pajama pals. I'm talking about Gavin and Will Geiger. Are you wearing your green pajamas? Are you green pajama pals? I think you are. Hi there, Gavin and Will. Thanks for listening. Because Pete the Cat, we read about Pete the Cat last night. And Pete the Cat is their favorite book. Okay, I think that's all the hellos we have tonight. So, let's take our break here, and then we'll come back, and we'll have our second book. We're going back to the Magic Treehouse, and we're going to find out where Jack and Annie head tonight. So, little kids, if you need to, Mom and Dad, head off to bed, get a snack, snuggle in again, and we'll be back with our second story. On Reading with Rick tonight, and we're going to go back to the Magic Treehouse. Yep, we're going to do that. I want to ask one favor of you kids that are still with us here tonight. Would you promise me one thing before we start the story here? Will you promise me something? It's not a hard promise at all. It's a really good promise to make. Will you promise me each day, every day, try to remember, think of something that happened during your day that was good, and just tell Mom and Dad thanks. Will you do that? They would love to hear that from each of you. So just tell your Mom and Dad, say, hey, thanks Mom and Dad for making me a good dinner, or thanks Mom and Dad for helping me with my homework, or something like that. It's very easy to do, and Mom and Dad will really like that. Okay, let's start. The Magic Treehouse and Mummies in the Morning. Mummies in the Morning. So that is where Jack and Annie are going tonight. 10 chapters. And here we go. The first chapter. Meow. It's still here, said Jack. It looks empty, said Annie. Jack and his 7-year-old sister gazed up at a very tall oak tree. At the top of the tree was a treehouse. Late morning sunlight lit the woods. It was almost time for lunch.
Shh, what was that noise? Said Jack.
What noise?
I heard a noise, Jack said.
He looked around.
It sounded like someone coughing.
I didn't hear anything, said Annie. Come on, let's go up.
She grabbed onto the rope ladder and started climbing. Jack tiptoed over to a clump of bushes. He pushed aside a small branch.
Hello? Anybody there?
There was no answer.
Come on, Annie called down. The treehouse looks the same as it did yesterday.
Jack still felt that someone was nearby. Could it be the person who'd put all the books in the treehouse?
Jack!
Jack gazed over the top of the bushes. Was the mysterious person watching him now? The person whose name began with M? Maybe M wanted the gold medallion back, the one Jack had found on their dinosaur adventure. Maybe M wanted the leather bookmark back, the one from the castle book. There was an M on the medallion and an M on the bookmark. But what did M stand for?
Tomorrow I'll bring everything back, Jack said loudly.
A breeze swept through the woods. The leaves rattled. Come on, called Annie. Jack went back to the big oak tree. He grabbed onto the rope ladder and he climbed up. At the top, he crawled through a hole in the wooden floor. He tossed down his backpack and pushed his glasses into place.
Which book is it going to be today? Said Annie.
She was looking at the books scattered around the treehouse. Annie picked up the book about castles.
Hey, this isn't wet anymore, she said.
Let me see. Jack took the book away from her. He was amazed. It looked fine. Yesterday, it had gotten soaked in a castle moat. The castle book had taken Jack and Annie back to the time of knights. Jack silently thanked the mysterious knight who had rescued them.
Watch out, warned Annie.
She waved a dinosaur book in Jack's face. Put that away, said Jack. The day before, yesterday, the dinosaur book had taken them to the time of dinosaurs. Jack silently thanked the pteranodon who had saved him from the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Annie put the dinosaur book back with the other books, and then she gasped.
Wow, she whispered, look at this.
And she held up a book about ancient Egypt. Jack caught his breath. He took the book from her. A green silk bookmark stuck out of it. Jack turned to the page with the bookmark. There was a picture of a pyramid. Going toward the pyramid was a long parade. Four huge cows with horns were pulling a sled. On the sled was a long gold box, and many Egyptians were walking behind the sled. At the end of the parade was a sleek black cat.
Let's go there, whispered Annie, now.
Wait, said Jack. He wanted to study the book a bit more.
Pyramids, Jack, said Annie. You love pyramids.
And it was true. Pyramids were high on his list of favorite things, after knights, but before dinosaurs, way before dinosaurs. He didn't have to worry about being eaten by a pyramid. Okay, he said, but hold the Pennsylvania book in case we want to come right back here. Annie found the book with a picture of their hometown in it, Frog Creek, Pennsylvania. Then Jack pointed to the pyramid picture in the Egypt book. He cleared his throat and said, I wish we could go to this place.
Meow.
What was that? Jack looked out the treehouse window, and there was a black cat perched on a branch right outside their window. And the cat was staring at Jack and Annie. But it was the strangest cat Jack had ever seen. He was very sleek and dark, with bright yellow eyes, and he had a wide gold collar.
It's the cat in the Egypt book, whispered Annie.
Just then, the wind started to blow, and the leaves began to shake. Annie cried, here we go! And the wind whistled louder, and the leaves shook harder. Jack closed his eyes as the treehouse started to spin, and it spun faster and faster and faster. And suddenly everything was still, absolutely still. Not a sound, not a whisper. Jack opened his eyes. Hot, bright sunlight nearly blinded him.
Meow!
Chapter 2. Oh, man, mummies. Jack and Annie looked out the window. The treehouse was perched on the top of a palm tree. The tree stood with other palm trees, a patch of green surrounded by a sandy desert.
Meow!
Jack and Annie looked down. The black cat was sitting at the base of the tree. His yellow eyes were staring up at Jack and Annie.
Hi!
Annie shouted. Shh, said Jack. Someone might hear you.
In the middle of the desert, said Annie.
The black cat stood and began walking around the tree.
Come back, Annie called.
She leaned out the window to see where the cat was going.
Oh, wow, she said. Look, Jack.
Jack leaned forward and he looked down. The cat was running away from the palm trees toward a giant pyramid in the desert. And a parade was going toward the pyramid, the same parade that was in the Egypt book.
It's a picture from the book, said Jack.
"What are those people doing?" asked Annie.
Jack looked down at the Egypt book. He read the words under the picture. When a royal person died, a grand funeral procession took place. Family, servants, and mourners followed the coffin. The coffin was called a sarcophagus. It was pulled on by a sled of 4 oxen.
"It's an Egyptian funeral," said Jack. "The box is called a forget it.
He looked out the window again. Oxen, sled, Egyptians, black cat, all were moving in a slow, dreamy way. "I'd better take some notes about this," said Jack. He reached into his backpack and pulled out his notebook. Jack always kept notes.
"Wait a minute," said Jack, and he wrote down, "Coffin called sarcophagus."
"We'd better hurry," said Annie, "if we want to see the mummy."
She started down the rope ladder. Jack looked up from his notebook.
"Mummy," he said.
"There's probably a mummy in that gold box," Annie called up. "We're in ancient Egypt, remember?"
Jack loved mummies. He put down his pencil.
"Goodbye, Jack," called Annie.
"Wait," called Jack.
"Mummies," Annie shouted.
"Oh, man," said Jack weakly. "Mummies. She sure knew how to get to him." Jack shoved his notebook and the Egypt book into his pack. Then he started down the ladder. When he got to the ground, he and Annie took off across the sand. But as they ran, a strange thing happened. The closer they got to the parade, the harder it was to see it. Then suddenly, it was gone. The strange parade had disappeared, vanished. But the great stone pyramid was still there, towering above them. Panting, Jack looked around. What had happened? Where were the people? The oxen, the gold box, the cat?
"They're gone," said Annie.
"Where did they go?" said Jack.
"Maybe they were ghosts," said Annie.
"Don't be silly. There's no such thing as ghosts," said Jack. "It must have been a mirage."
"A what?"
"Mirage. It happens in the desert all the time," said Jack. "It looks like something's there, but it just turns out to be the sunlight reflecting through the heat."
"How could sunlight look like people, a mummy box, and a bunch of cows?" said Annie.
Jack frowned.
"Ghosts," she said.
"No way," said Jack.
"Look,"
Annie pointed at the pyramid. Near the base was the sleek black cat. He was standing alone and staring back at Jack and Annie.
"He's no mirage," said Annie.
The cat started to slink away. He walked along the base of the pyramid and slid around a corner.
"Where's he going?" said Jack. "Let's find out," said Annie.
They dashed around the corner just in time to see the cat disappear through a hole in the pyramid. Chapter 3. It's Alive.
"Where did he go?" said Jack.
He and Annie peeked through the hole. They saw a long hallway. Burning torches lit the walls. Dark shadows loomed.
"Let's go in," said Annie.
"Wait," said Jack. He pulled out the Egypt book and turned to the section on pyramids. He read the caption aloud. Pyramids were sometimes called houses of the dead. They were nearly all solid stone, except for the burial chambers deep inside.
"Wow, let's go there, to the burial chambers. I bet a mummy's there," said Annie.
Jack took a deep breath. Then he stepped out of into the hot, bright sunlight and stepped into the cool, dark pyramid. The hallway was silent. Floor, ceiling, walls, everything was stone. The floor slanted up from where they stood.
"We have to go further inside," said Annie.
"Right," said Jack, "but stay close behind me. Don't talk. Don't
go. Just go," said Annie,
and she gave him a little push. Jack started up the slanting floor of the hallway. Where was that cat? The hallway went on and on.
"Wait," said Jack. "I want to look at the book."
He opened the Egypt book again. He held it below a torch on the wall. The book showed a picture of the inside of the pyramid. "The burial chamber's in the middle of the pyramid. See?" said Jack. He pointed to the picture. "It seems to be straight ahead." Jack tucked the book under his arm. Then they headed deeper into the pyramid. Soon the floor became flat. The air felt different. It was musty and stale. Jack opened the book again. I think we're almost at the burial chamber. See the picture? The hallway slants up, then it gets flat, then you come to the chamber. See? Look. A strange cry shot through the pyramid. Jack dropped the Egypt book. Out of the shadows flew a white figure, and it swooshed toward them. A mummy! It's alive! Annie shouted. Chapter 4. Back from the Dead. Jack pulled Annie down. The white figure moved swiftly past them and then disappeared into the shadows.
A mummy, said Annie. Back from the dead.
Forget it, stammered Jack. Mummies aren't alive. He picked up the Egypt book.
What's this? Said Annie.
She lifted something from the floor.
Look, the mummy dropped this thing.
It was a gold stick. It was about a foot long, and a dog's head was carved on one end. It looks like a scepter, said Jack.
What's that? Asked Annie.
It's a thing that kings and queens carry, said Jack. It means they have power over the people.
Come back, mummy, Annie called. We found your scepter. Come back. We want to help you.
Shush, said Jack. Are you nuts?
But the mummy...
That was no mummy, said Jack. It was a person, a real person.
What kind of person would be inside a pyramid? Asked Annie.
I don't know, said Jack. Maybe the book can help us. And he flipped through the book, and at last he found a picture of a person in a pyramid. And he read, tomb robbers often carried off the treasure buried with mummies. False passages were sometimes built to stop the robbers. Jack closed the book. No live mummy, he said, just a tomb robber.
Yikes, a tomb robber, said Annie.
Yeah, a robber who steals stuff from tombs.
But what if the robber comes back, said Annie? We'd better leave.
Right, said Jack, but first, I want to write something down. He put the Egypt book into his pack. He pulled out his notebook and pencil and started to write in his notebook. He wrote, tomb robber.
Jack, said Annie.
Just a second, said Jack. He kept writing. Tomb robber tried to steal.
Jack, look, said Annie.
And Jack felt a whoosh of cold air. He looked up. A wave of terror went through him. Another figure was moving slowly toward them. And this wasn't a tomb robber. No, it was a lady. A beautiful Egyptian lady. She wore flowers in her black hair. Her long white dress had many tiny pleats. Her gold jewelry glittered.
Here, Jack, Annie whispered, give her this.
And she handed him the gold scepter. The lady stopped in front of them. Jack held out the scepter. His hand was trembling. He gasped. The scepter passed right through the lady's hand. She was made of air. Chapter 5. The Ghost Queen.
A ghost, Annie whispered.
But Jack could only stare in horror. The ghost began to speak. She spoke in a hollow, echoing voice.
I am Hetupi, she said, Queen of the Nile. Is it true that you have come to help me?
Yes, said Annie.
Jack still couldn't speak.
For 1,000 years, said the Ghost Queen, I have waited for help.
Jack's heart was pounding so hard, he thought he might faint.
Someone must find my Book of the Dead, she said. I need it to go on to the next life.
Why do you need the Book of the Dead? Asked Annie. She didn't sound scared at all.
It will tell me the magic spells I need to get through the underworld, said the Ghost Queen.
The underworld, said Annie.
Before I journey on to the next life, I must pass through the horrors of the underworld.
What kind of horrors? Annie asked.
Poisonous snakes, said the Ghost Queen. Lakes of fire, monsters, demons.
Oh, Annie stepped closer to Jack. My brother is here. He can help.
My brother hid the Book of the Dead, so tomb robbers would not steal it.
the Ghost Queen continued.
Then he carved this secret message on the wall, telling me how to find the Book of the Dead.
She pointed to the wall. Jack was still in shock. He still couldn't even move.
Where? Said Annie. Where? Here?
And she squinted at the wall.
What do these tiny pictures mean?
The Ghost Queen smiled sadly.
Alas, my brother forgot my strange problem. I cannot see clearly that which is close to my eyes. I have not been able to read his message for 1,000 years.
Oh, that's not a strange problem, said Annie. Jack can't see anything either. That's why he wears glasses.
The Ghost Queen stared in wonder at Jack.
Jack, lend her your glasses.
Jack took off his glasses off his nose and held them out to the Ghost Queen. She backed away from him.
I fear I cannot wear your glasses, Jack. I am made of air.
Oh, I forgot, said Annie.
But perhaps you will describe the hieroglyphs on these walls, said the Ghost Queen.
Who, said Annie?
Hieroglyphs, said Jack, finally finding his voice. It's the ancient Egyptian way of writing. It's like writing with pictures. The Ghost Queen smiled at him and said,
Thank you, Jack.
Jack smiled back at her. He put his glasses on, and then he stepped toward the wall and took a good long look and whispered, Oh, man. Chapter 6, The Writing on the Wall. Jack and Annie squinted at the pyramid wall. A series of tiny pictures were carved into the stone.
There are 4 pictures here, Jack told the Ghost Queen.
Describe them to me, Jack, 1 at a time, please.
Jack looked at the wall and studied the first picture. Okay, he said. The first one is like this. And he made a zigzag in the air with his finger.
Like stairs?
Asked the Ghost Queen. Yes, stairs, said Jack, just like stairs. And she nodded. Easy enough. Jack studied the second picture. The second one has a long box on the bottom, he said, and he drew it in the air. The Ghost Queen looked puzzled. With 3 things on top, like this, and drew squiggly lines in the air. And the Ghost Queen still seemed puzzled. Like a hat, said Jack.
Hat?
Said the Ghost Queen.
No, more like a boat, said Annie.
Boat?
Said the Ghost Queen. She got excited.
Boat?
Jack took another look at the wall. Yes, it could be a boat. The Ghost Queen looked very happy, and she smiled.
Yes, of course.
Jack and Annie studied the next picture.
The third one is like a thing that holds flowers, said Annie.
Or a thing that holds water, said Jack.
Like a jug?
Asked the Ghost Queen. Exactly, said Jack.
Yes, a jug, said Annie.
Jack and Annie then studied the last picture.
And the last one looks like a pole that droops, said Annie.
Like a curved stick, said Jack, but one side is shorter than the other. The Ghost Queen looked puzzled.
Wait, said Jack, I'll draw it in my notebook, big, so you can see it.
Jack put down the scepter and got out his pencil, and he drew the hieroglyph.
A folded cloth,
said the Ghost Queen.
Well, not really, said Jack, and he studied his drawing.
But that is the hieroglyph for a folded cloth,
said the Ghost Queen. Well, okay, said Jack. He looked at the 4th hieroglyph again. He still couldn't see the folded cloth, unless it was like a towel hanging over a bathroom rod.
That's all of them, said Annie.
She pointed at each picture.
Stairs, boat, jug, folded cloth.
And Jack wrote the words in his notebook and drew the little picture. Stairs, jug, boat, cloth.
So what does the message mean? He asked the Ghost Queen.
Come,
she said and held out her hand.
Come to my burial chambers.
And she floated away. Chapter 7, The Scroll. Jack put the scepter and his notebook and pencil into his pack. He and Annie followed the Ghost Queen deeper into the pyramid until they came to some stairs. "The stairs," said Jack and Annie. The Ghost Queen floated up the stairs. Jack and Annie followed. The Ghost Queen floated right through a wooden door. Jack and Annie pushed on the door. It opened slowly. They stepped into a cold, drafty room. The Ghost Queen was nowhere in sight. Dim torchlight lit the huge room. It had a very high ceiling. On one side was a pile of tables and chairs and even musical instruments. On the other side of the room was a small wooden boat. "The boat," said Jack.
"What's it doing inside Queen Hutepi's pyramid?" asked Annie.
"Maybe it's supposed to carry her to the next life," said Jack. He and Annie went over to the boat, and they looked inside. The boat was filled with many things: gold plates, painted cups, jeweled goblets, woven baskets, jewelry with blue stones, and small wooden statues.
"Look," said Jack.
He reached into the boat and lifted out a clay jug.
"The jug," said Annie.
Jack looked inside the jug.
"Something's in here."
"What is it?"
asked Annie. And Jack reached in and felt inside the jug.
It feels like a big napkin," he said.
"The folded cloth," said Annie.
Jack reached into the jug and pulled out the folded cloth. It was wrapped around an ancient-looking scroll. Jack slowly unrolled the scroll. It was covered with wonderful hieroglyphs.
"The Book of the Dead," whispered Annie. "We found it. We found her book."
"Oh, man," Jack traced his finger over the scroll. It felt like very old paper.
"Queen Hutepi," called Annie. "We have it. We found your Book of the Dead."
Silence.
"Queen Hutepi."
Then another door on the other side of the chamber creaked open.
"In there," said Annie. "Maybe she's in there."
Jack's heart was pounding. Cold air was coming through the open doorway.
"Come on," said Annie. "Wait."
"No," said Annie.
"She's waited 1,000 years for her book. Don't make her wait any more."
Jack put the ancient scroll into his backpack. Then he and Annie slowly started to cross the drafty room. They came to the open door. Annie went through first.
"Hurry, Jack," she said.
Jack stepped into the other room. It was nearly bare, except for a long gold box. The box was open. The cover was on the floor.
"Queen Hutepi," called Annie.
Silence.
"We found it, your Book of the Dead."
Still no sign of the Ghost Queen, but the gold box was glowing. Jack could barely breathe.
Let's leave the scroll on the floor and go," he said.
"No, I think we should leave it in there,"
said Annie, and she pointed to the gold box.
"No," said Jack. "Don't be afraid," said Annie. "Come on."
Annie took Jack by the arm. They walked together across the room to the glowing gold box. They stepped in front of the box and peered inside. Chapter 8, The Mummy. A real mummy. Bandages were still wrapped around the bald skull, but most of the bandages had come off the face. It was Hutepi, Queen of the Nile. Her broken teeth were showing, her little wrinkled ears, her squashed nose, her withered flesh, her hollow eye sockets. Plus, the rotting bandages on her body were coming off. You could see bones.
"Oh, gross," cried Annie. "Let's go."
"No," said Jack. "It's interesting."
"Forget it," said Annie,
and she started out of the room.
"Wait, Annie."
"Come on, Jack, hurry,"
cried Annie, and she was standing by the door. Jack pulled out the Egypt book and flipped to a picture of a mummy, and he read aloud, "Ancient Egyptians tried to protect the body so it would last forever. First, it was dried out with salt."
"Ugh, stop," said Annie.
"Listen," said Jack.
and he kept reading. Next, it was covered with oil. Then, it was wrapped tightly in bandages. The brain was removed by...
Yuck! Stop! Cried Annie. Goodbye!
She dashed out of the room.
Annie! Called Jack. We have to give her the Book of the Dead.
But Annie was gone. Jack reached into his pack. He pulled out the scroll and the scepter, and he put them in the box next to the mummy's skull. Was it just his imagination, or did a deep sigh seem to shudder throughout the room? Did the mummy's face grow calmer, or was he imagining it? Jack held his breath as he backed away, out of the mummy room, out of the boat room, and down the stairs. Oh, at the bottom of the stairs, he heaved his own sigh, a big sigh of relief, and he looked down the hallway. But it was empty.
Hey, where are you? He said.
No answer. Where in the world was Annie? Jack started down the hallway.
Annie! He called.
Had she run out of the pyramid? Was she already outside?
Annie!
Help, Jack!
Came a cry, but the voice sounded very far away. It was Annie, but where was she?
Help, Jack!
Annie!
Jack started to run along the shadowy hallway.
Help, Jack!
Her cry seemed fainter. Jack stopped. He was running away from her voice.
Annie, he called,
and went back toward the burial chambers.
Jack!
There, her voice was louder.
Jack!
Even louder. Jack climbed the stairs. He went back into the boat room and looked around at the furniture, the musical instruments, the boat, and then he saw it. There was another door right next to the door he'd just come through. The other door was open. Jack dashed through it and found himself at the top of some stairs. They were just like the stairs in the other hallway. He went down into the hallway. It was lit by torches on the wall. It was just like the other hallway.
Annie, he called.
Jack!
Annie!
Jack!
He was running through the hallway toward him. She crashed into him.
I was lost, she cried.
I think this is one of those false passages built to fool the tomb robbers, said Jack.
A false passage, said Annie.
Yeah, it looks just like the right hallway, but it's not. We have to go back into the boat room and out the right door. And just then, they heard a creaking noise. Jack and Annie turned around. They looked up the stairs, and then they watched in horror as the door slowly creaked shut. A deep sound rumbled in the distance, and all the torches went out. Chapter 9. Follow the Leader. It was pitch dark.
What happened? Asked Annie.
I don't know. Something weird, said Jack.
We have to get out of here fast. Push against the door. Good idea, said Annie.
They felt their way through the darkness to the top of the stairs. Don't worry, everything's going to be okay, said Jack. He was trying to stay calm.
Of course, said Annie.
They leaned against the wooden door, and they pushed. It wouldn't budge. They pushed harder. No use. Jack took a deep breath. It was getting hard to breathe, and harder to stay calm.
What can we do? Asked Annie.
Just rest a moment, said Jack. His heart was pounding as he tried to see through the darkness. Maybe we should start down the hall, he said. Maybe we'll eventually come to an exit. He wasn't sure about that, but they had no choice. Come on, he said. Feel the wall. Jack felt the stone wall as he climbed slowly down the stairs. Annie followed. Then Jack started down the dark hallway. It was impossible to see anything, but he kept going, taking one step at a time, moving his hands along the wall. He went around a corner. He went around another corner, and he came to some stairs. He went up. There was a door. He pushed against it, and he pushed too. This door wouldn't budge either. Was this the same door they had started at? It was no use. They were trapped. Annie took his hand in the dark. She squeezed it. They stood together at the top of the stairs, listening to the silence.
Oh, man, Jack whispered. He's back, said Annie.
Meow.
Follow him, cried Jack. He's going away from us. They started down the dark hallway, following the cat's meow. Hands against the wall, Jack and Annie stumbled through the darkness.
Meow.
They followed the sound all the way through the winding hallway, down, 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 around one corner, then another, and another. And then finally, they saw a light at the end of the tunnel. They rushed forward and out into the bright sunlight. Yay! Annie shouted. But Jack was thinking. Annie, he said, how did we get out of the false passage? The cat, said Annie. But how could the cat do it, asked Jack. Magic, said Annie. Jack frowned. But look, said Annie, and she pointed. The cat was bounding away over the sand. Thank you, called Annie. Thanks, Jack shouted at the cat. And the cat's black tail waved back at them. And then the cat disappeared into the shimmering waves of heat. Jack looked around the palm trees. At the top of one sat the treehouse, like a bird's nest. Time to go home, Jack said. He and Annie set off for the palm trees. It was a long, hot walk back. At last, Annie grabbed onto the rope ladder, then Jack. And once they were inside the treehouse, Jack reached for the book about Pennsylvania. And just then, he heard a rumbling sound, the same sound that they had heard when they were in the pyramid. Look, Annie said, as she pointed out the window. And Jack looked. There was a boat beside the pyramid, and it was gliding over the sand like a boat sailing over the sea. And then it faded away into the distance. Was it just a mirage? Or was the ghost queen finally on her way to the next life? Home, Jack, whispered Annie, and Jack opened the Pennsylvania book. He pointed to the picture of Frog Creek. I wish we could go home, he said. And the wind began to blow, and the leaves began to shake, and the wind blew harder, and it whistled louder, and the treehouse started to spin, and it was spinning faster and faster. And then everything was still. Absolutely silent. Chapter 10. Another Clue. Late morning sunlight shone through the treehouse window. Shadows danced on the walls and ceiling. Jack took a deep breath. He was lying on the floor of the treehouse. I wonder what Mom's making for lunch, said Annie. She was looking out the window. Jack smiled. Lunch. Mom. Home. It all sounded so real. So calm and safe. I hope it's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, he said. He closed his eyes. The wood floor felt cool. Boy, this place is a mess, said Annie. We'd better make it neater in case M comes back. Jack had almost forgotten about M. Would they ever meet the mysterious M, the person who seemed to own all the books in the treehouse? Let's put the Egypt book on the bottom of the pile, said Annie. Good idea, said Jack. He needed a rest before he visited any more ancient tombs. Let's put the dinosaur book on top of the Egypt book, said Annie. Yeah, good, said Jack, and a long rest before he visited another Tyrannosaurus Rex. The castle book can go on the very top of the pile, said Annie. And Jack nodded and smiled. He liked thinking about the knight on the cover of the castle book. He felt as if the knight was his friend. Jack, said Annie, look. Jack opened his eyes, and she was pointing at the wooden floor. What is it, he asked. You have to see for yourself. Jack groaned as he got up. He stood next to Annie and looked at the floor. He didn't see anything. Turn your head a little, she said. You have to catch the light just right. Jack tipped his head to one side. Something was shining on the floor. He tipped his head a little more. A letter came into focus. The letter M. It shimmered in the sunlight. This proved the treehouse belonged to M. Absolutely, for sure, no question, no doubt about it. Jack touched the M with his finger. His skin tingled. Just then the leaves trembled. The wind picked up. "Let's go down now," he said. Jack grabbed the backpack, and he and Annie climbed down the ladder. As they stood on the ground below the treehouse, Jack heard a sound in the bushes. "Who's there?" he called. The woods grew still. "I'm going to bring the medallion back soon," Jack said loudly, "and the bookmark, too, both of them tomorrow." "Who are you talking to?" asked Annie. "I feel like Em is nearby," Jack whispered. Annie's eyes grew wide. "Should we look for him?" But just then, their mother's voice came from the distance. "Jack! Annie!" Jack and Annie looked around at the trees. Then they looked at each other. "Tomorrow," they said together, and they took off, running out of the woods. They ran down their street. They ran across their yard. They ran into their house. They ran into their kitchen. They ran right into their mom. She was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. The end. That was another great story. They went to Egypt and the land of the mummies and pyramids tonight. Wow, that was fun. I wonder where they're going to go tomorrow. We're going to find out. Yeah, that'll be a fun story again tomorrow. Another trip with Jack and Annie in the magic treehouse. So don't forget, thank your mom and dad tomorrow for something that they did or just something you're thankful for tomorrow. And promise me you'll do that every day, at least until we're back to school, and maybe even you can keep on doing it forever. But thanks, mom and dad. And thank you, kids, for staying up and listening. And thanks all of you that have sent me messages and pictures. I sure love looking at those pictures and getting those messages. So keep them coming, and we'll keep coming at you with more books on Reading with Rick. See you tomorrow night, everybody. Have a good night and a better day tomorrow.